So I'm going to Lyndhurst Rehabilitation Center in Toronto, Ontario tomorrow for what I feel like is Army boot camp that I didn't really sign up for, to try and get my legs to hopefully work and develop skills to be able to live independently with this new transverse myelitis diagnosis that I got after taking the COVID-19 switch from Pfizer, then getting Moderna, and losing all functions and becoming quadriplegic after the third dose. So I'm now 6 weeks in and going to be moved to a proper rehabilitation center. It's kind of sad to leave behind my son and my family and everything, but I'm hoping that it will help and I will get stronger. So yeah, I will keep everything updated. I'm just looking at what the date is. It is, I don't know, it is Monday, April 4th. I arrived at the hospital on February 22nd. So that's how far I've come in my recovery. I can use my hands a little bit and can feel things. So hopefully that's a good sign and we shall see from there.
For those of you who don't know who that is, that's Kayla Pollock. She was on the channel a while back. I'm sharing this because her Give, Send, Go is in the tweets. And it's just a periodic reminder and follow-up that she's trying to raise money to, I believe, buy a wheelchair-accessible vehicle. And the Canadian government, you know, while it debates over who pays for a trans individual who wants to have a vaginoplasty but keep the penis, while they tie up the court system with that for extensive periods of time and at extensive taxpayer dollars, and while the government ships hundreds of millions, billions to Ukraine, it offers death to Canadian citizens that have been paralyzed through medical procedures that were coerced by the government. The link to the tweet is here, and it has the Give, Send, Go in it. So if you don't mind, I mean, if you can't, and again, like, we can't all give. If the times are exceedingly tough for a great many people. If you can't give financially, share the link and just raise awareness. But I'm not joking, by the way. Was it yesterday or the day before? No, I think it was yesterday. It's news coming out of Canada. They're debating in the court system, tying up the courts, $10,000 a day for judges, court bailiffs, staff, whatever, to decide if the Ontario Health Insurance Plan pays for a trans person's surgery, but the person, man, wants a neo vagina, but wants to keep his ding dong as well. So the question is, does the Ontario Health Insurance Plan, public health care, does it pay for the addition of a vaginal hole, a front hole, a neo vagina, an axe wound, if you ask Tulip R. Ritchie? Does that get paid for by taxpayer dollars because the individual has to go to Texas to have this done to him? Holy crab apples. If you didn't see that, maybe I'll do a quick car vlog on that tonight because I don't think enough people know about that story. Good afternoon, evening, everybody. I'm wicked exhausted. Like, I haven't been sleeping well, getting up early, and I did an amazing episode with The Unusual Suspects that is airing at 6 o'clock. So we will be done here by 6, and the YouTube stream redirects over to The Unusual Suspects. I was on with Chris Cuomo. And I'm going to do a locals after party. If it's not immediately after, I might have to take a kid somewhere. I'll do it in the car or later. I'm going to tell y'all what that experience was like. It was very interesting. I'll start off and only tease you by saying the episode of The Unusual Suspects, I dare say, might be one of the best episodes. I was respectfully not pushing back because I think Chris Cuomo's having a red pill era of his life. He agreed with a lot of what I had to say, which is good. Said I was going to make the joke that now one of us is going to get canceled. Hold on, get over here. I was going to make that joke, but I didn't want to make any, you know, not insulting, but whatever. Bottom line, I'll tell you all what that experience was like over at Locals, vivabarneslaw.locals.com. But he's a massive, massive human, and not like big, 6'2", well-built, massive hands, can crush a turnip. And it was a good episode. Okay. And so that's it. We did that earlier today. I had to take care of some kids stuff. I was so tired, I actually fell asleep in the car as I was waiting to pick up a kid from school. That doesn't happen very often. It was like the best 2-minute nap I've had in a long time. Winston is in the house. Oh, what do you say? Is that the cutest thing ever? Like, if I just stop, we stop and stare at him. He has no idea where he is. Okay, I'm gonna put him down here. Oh my goodness. Let's see what's going on here. Oh, so we're going to get to a bunch of stuff tonight. Okay, the Tiffany Henyard. I'm only touching on it because I can't deep dive into the Tiffany Henyard the way Nate the lawyer has, and he's done a magnificent, splendid job. It's just I saw what happened yesterday at the town hall meeting or whatever the heck they call that, and then I came across another guy's deep dive today, and I wanted to highlight what a criminal with a badge looks like. We'll get there in a second. For those of you who don't know me, Viva Fry, David Fry, former Montreal litigator turned current Florida Rumbler. Live streams. We might stay on YouTube, Rumble, and vivabarneslaw.locals.com for the entire hour because it's not that much time. It's all the time that I had to get a stream going. 6 o'clock, The Unusual Suspects is on. Westies are great dogs, but I am a bull mastiff man, and I always will be. When Viva did the convoy, he stopped for every dog, especially the pit bulls. Oh, I love those big, beautiful, mushy faces. And okay, We're going to tie in all of this. Don't get, you're getting me distracted. We're going to tie in the Tiffany Henyard, absolute insanity. And then the defense, they're only coming after me because I'm a black woman. Tying it into Judge Juan Marchand, don't go after his daughter because that's unfair. Tying it into Leticia James, they're only booing and heckling me because of race. Tying it into Fannie Willis, they're only coming after me because I'm a woman and I'm black. And they're only going after Nathan Wade because he's black. Corruption hides behind identity politics, and identity politics seems to hide behind corruption. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We got some good stuff. And what was I going to say other than that? I don't remember anymore, but it doesn't matter. But you might have noticed as you stepped into this stream. Oh, I got to make sure that I'm live across the platforms. That's what I got to do. Hold on. Are we live on Rumble? We look like we're live on Rumble. Yes, we are. Good. Are we live on vivabarneslaw.locals.com? We are. And on vivabarneslaw.locals.com, I don't know why. I don't know what the conversation was. Someone had put in just, you know, not assessment, but the daily recap of what the price of gold is. $2,300 an ounce. I don't know if that has to be Canadian. That can't be US. I said that's very funny because I was literally just talking about with my kid what the price of gold is going to be in 10 years. Why he asked me this, I have no idea. I was not doing the practicing my sponsored pitches for my kid. He says, what do you think gold's going to be in 10 years? And I said, it'll be twice what it is today. And he says, why? And he said, the guy got an idea. I'm an idiot. I don't know anything about investment advice or anything. I just know that gold appreciates in value more consistently than anything else over thousands and thousands of years. And that is the sponsor for today's video. What are the chances? PreserveGold.com/Viva. A new central digital bank currency is coming and could replace your dollars with digital currency. Speaking of which, the eclipse is coming next week. I asked my wife to get more water and more non-perishable food items. She said no. And we got gold? Get some gold. Pick up some gold. Okay, that's not going to happen. Pick up some gold at preservegold.com/Viva. With central digital banking comes surveillance of our lives, freezing of our assets, government control over bank accounts, and how we spend our money. Just look no further than Herr Trudeau. Americans who want to protect their liberty and privacy need to prepare themselves for what's to come. That's why many Americans are turning to physical gold and silver to diversify their wealth. Get my money if you're Tiffany Henyard. Preserve Gold makes it easy. They're triple business, 3BB, BBB accredited with zero consumer complaints and hundreds of satisfied clients. They're also the founding member of the Precious Metals Association, so you know you're in good hands. And as an exclusive offer for the Viva Fry fam, I like that. Viva Fry fam. They'll give you $10,000 in free gold and silver with a qualifying purchase or retirement account rollover. They'll even throw in a $500 credit if you request an investor guide today. So don't wait. Get some gold or silver if you're on a lesser budget, but silver undervalued. but gold seems to be the gold standard. Bada bing, bada boom. PreserveGold.com/Viva today to get your free gold and silver investment guide and take a first step towards protecting your wealth. Again, PreserveGold.com/Viva to get your free guide from the good people at Preserve Gold. I wanted to show you the website, not just the video here. Hold on a second. If you go to the website, and like, I'm not much, you know, when you've got kids and you got to start planning for potential American colleges, look, I'd love to invest more in gold. And there's something nice about holding a gold coin, but one day I'll like, I won't be like Scrooge McDuck swimming through the pile of gold, but go to the website. You can get, that's one I got. I got one with the Queen Elizabeth because, you know, God save the Queen. I don't know. Okay. It doesn't matter. The link is in the pinned comment. All right. Now, thank you, Preserve Gold, by the way, .com/Viva. Gold is a commodity. Bitcoin is a scarcity. I can't endorse Bitcoin because I don't understand it. So if I don't understand it, I can't do it. Period. Okay, done. Set that aside. If I ever understand it, and if ever I get behind it, I have a 1/10 of one tetra Bitcoin. Silver is 1,200 and something kilogram, a kilogram. That's got to be Canadian. That's doubled in 9 months. Huh. Okay, cool. I was going to start with another video, which would have been funnier, but I wanted to start with Kayla Pollock so that we can remind ourselves, but for the grace of God, any one of us could have been in Kayla's position, and B, F that Canadian government, but we're not going to get there. Nate, I'm not covering it. I told you months ago the story was gold. Now, Viva, Nate, I'm not getting into this in the depths that you're getting into it. I can't. That ship has sailed, Nate. This is Nate, the lawyer in the house. I cannot also do the job that you've done. I fully recognize that. But when I saw the deep dive of this guy today, I'm like, holy crab apples. They've actually militarized the police as their personal bodyguards. We'll get into a little bit of it. But Nate, the lawyer, is the man for the Tiffany Henyard. No, I was going to start with Trump breaking people's brains. I mean, literally. It's a very weird thing. When I had Mark Grobert from America's Untold Stories on in set at Locals, and he says, look, we know MK Ultra was a thing. It actually, you know, has some Montreal roots. They were kidnapping homeless people, or at least taking over homeless institutionalized people, experimenting on them, mind control, all these things. And Grobert says, I genuinely think that Trump is an MK Ultra type thing. Mass formation psychosis, mass hypnosis, whatever you want to call it. It is clinical. Like TDS, it's a joke. It's become a meme. Trump derangement syndrome. It's like they're so mentally ill and Trump's the one who did it. Trump is the embodiment of what I believe would be an otherwise diagnosable mental disorder. Mass formation psychosis, crowd psychology, behavioral, whatever you want to call it. I think it's a definitively demonstrable thing. That woman on her knees. Yeah! I mean, it's not a sign of sanity. And the fact that everyone has now normalized their mental illness. Trump broke people's brains. And I strongly am getting on the bandwagon that this is a deep state. Now I just forgot it. Ultra MK type mind control to break society, divide society, and lead society to some form of civil war. If you had any doubts about it, I don't know who this person is. I mean, you can see this. It's in the eyes. It's in the eyes. Everybody knows Jack Posobiec, and I see this. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, this ties very much into the topic of the day, Juan Marchand. But listen to this. I'm just going to play it. It's a wild, unhinged rant because apparently Trump, nobody can support Trump without being a fascist, without being a Nazi. And wait until you see this. Okay. You know it's going to start good. I'm telling you. Okay, you ready? I don't know how loud the volume is going to be, so just get ready to notch it down a little bit.
Are you kidding me, law enforcement? Are you kidding me? Tonight in Grand Rapids, multiple law enforcement officers stood behind Donald Trump as he spoke. People that are elected officials like sheriffs, others hired to protect and enforce the law for the entire citizenry, not for a political party, explicitly forbidden from being a partisan authoritarian police force, standing on stage, entirely unethical, probably illegal, on top of which Donald Trump has been indicted 91 times. He's liable for sexual assault.
Stop.
So his entire business was found to be fraudulent, and law enforcement has the fucking gall to stand on stage with him. Enough is enough.
Now, here's the problem. First of all, I'll tell you one thing. I hate circle rings. Look, can I zoom in? I can't. I hate circle rings because those lights that make you look like a zombie. But in this case, it's very apropos. Unless it's parody. This might very well be parody. I don't know who. Jebra Fashi. I know who that Twitter handle is. That's someone who grabs these things, I think, like libs of TikTok. This could be parody, in which case it's very good. The man deserves an Oscar. The man's an unhinged lunatic, but he thinks he's right, and he thinks he's righteous. That anybody standing behind Trump would be a fascist.
Kidding me?
We're not listening to this again. A broken man, because Trump broke him. But then, you know, because Trump is the fascist, Trump is the dictator, and then the people who are complaining that Trump is the fascist, Trump and the dictator, put out tweets like this. Fred Wellman, who's this individual? Oh yeah, I reported this post. Hold on a second. Get out of here. Can we get a list of who these shitbirds are? Now I can't see it anymore. Hold on. Are we looking at the same thing? Can we get a list of who these shitbirds are behind the shitbirds are? Something an actual Nazi would say, incitement of targeted harassment, incitement of violence, and very close to a threat. Give me names. Put them on a list and put them on a train. But these are the people accusing Trump of being the fascistic dictator. It's wild. Which is going to get us into the first topic of the day, which is a judge who seems to be afflicted with Trump derangement syndrome to the point where calling out the corruption is nothing but a threat. And that means Friday Jazz Blues. It's a new club down the street. It's fantastic. We're going to start with Judge Juan Marchand. We talked about it yesterday. I put out a vlog yesterday. How the Judge Marchand expanded his original gag order on Trump. And for those of you who are not familiar with that, last week, you have to be. Last week, Judge Marchand, Juan Marchand, in the Alvin Bragg prosecution out of New York, Soros-funded Alvin Bragg weaponized prosecution in front of a corrupt judge, much like Leticia James in front of Engoron, issued a gag order in which he ordered Trump and surrogates to not make any comments about court staff, potential jurors, potential witnesses, yada, yada, yada. Alvin Bragg comes up to the judge and says, you know, that doesn't cover you, me, or your daughter. And so then Juan Marchand comes in with an even more, I would say, unconstitutional on its face gag order, preventing Donald Trump and surrogates from talking about the district attorney, Alvin Bragg, his family, the court, that being the judge, and his family. And why is that? Because Judge Juan Marchand's daughter, as we now all well know, is president of some political activist committee, whatever they call them. I forget what they call them. I always forget the word for it. And is working with Adam Schiff, who has raised, I believe, $20 or $30 million off of the indictment and prosecution that this woman who's president of this company working for Schiff, her father, is now handling. And you recall once upon a time, Trump had asked for the recusal of the judge. And the judge said, nah, not yet. It's merely hypothetical. It's merely prospective. It's merely, there's no there yet. Well, now they wrote another letter. And from what I understand, they make these requests for motions and then they make a more substantive, detailed motion, fleshed out motion. But they wrote a letter to the judge, reported by Tom Fitton and others. And we'll read it because they're fleshing out a little bit more of the there now. It's like there's the nothing burger just became a something burger now that we actually know what's going on, despite the judge's efforts to try to prevent Trump, the one with the biggest bullhorn, from blasting it to the interwebs. But I am not a surrogate. I don't have any direct or indirect connection. I met Don Trump Jr. We're allowed talking about it. And this is what the letter says. Dear Justice Mershon. We respectfully submit this pre-motion letter. So that's what they call it. It's funny. Pre-motion letter. If it's authorized, then they make a motion, or they're advising that they're going to make another motion, a more fleshed out, detailed motion, seeking leave to file a motion for recusal, because it's not something, I guess it's not something that you can do of right. You need permission, pursuant to the rule of whatever, yada, 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 based on changed circumstances and newly discovered evidence, despite your best efforts. Do you remember the media is just out there saying he's threatening the judge's daughter, family's off limits? MF, or not when your daughter is a fully grown adult political activist who worked on Kamala Harris's campaign in 2020 and is now raking in millions for her lying bastard of a client, Adam Schiff. This is not Barron Trump when he's 16 years old. The double standards never end, and we're going to get into the double standards when we deal with the Clarence Thomas aspect of this. In August 2023, the court reasoned that recusal was not warranted because President Trump had only presented, quote, speculative and hypothetical scenarios, end quote. The scenarios identified by the defense have come to pass. President Trump is the presumptive, yada, yada, yada. Okay, fine, we know this. Your Honor's daughter. Your Honor, your daughter. They think, my daughter, don't talk about my daughter. Oh, sorry, your daughter's a fully grown adult, political activist. Yeah, sorry, not my daughter. This is not someone thinking to the kids. That's a full grown adult. And seems to be working in concert with her father. Your Honor's daughter is an executive and partner at Authentic Campaigns, Inc. As recently as February and March, Authentic has used social media to market its connections to President Biden and Vice President Harris while deriding President Trump. By the way, they've also gone like fully off the interwebs grid. It's an amazing thing that his daughter, whatever her name is, I think it's Lauren or Lorraine Marchand, her Twitter, abandoned her Twitter handle, and now they pretend it's not hers. The company here, Authentic's campaign on Twitter, I believe, has gone dark, if I'm not mistaken. Authentic and Your Honor's daughter are making money by supporting the creation and dissemination of campaign advocacy for President Trump's opponent, political rivals, and the Democrat Party. It can no longer be ignored that Authentic's commercial interests are benefited by developments in this case that harm President Trump's penal interests and divert his efforts from running his leading campaign for the presidency by requiring him to prepare and sit for trial during the general election. Not just that, if I may repeat myself a little bit, gagging a political opponent during the election cycle. It's an amazing thing. Oh, Putin's bad. Putin jails his political opponents. Well, the Democrats are trying to do that. The Democrats have weaponized every aspect of the judicial system, and they're also trying to physically silence their candidates. What's amazing is let me just take this out for a second. I'm listening to CNN, MSNBC, I forget which one. And they're like, oh, he's not gagged. He can say that the system is corrupt. He just can't talk about the daughter. Oh, thank you for telling me how I can express myself. You're free to say what I say you're free to say. That's freedom of speech right there. You're free to say what I tell you you can. Oh, my. Yeah, easy. You're free to say it's corrupt. You just can't explain how it's corrupt. You're free to say the system is rigged. You just can't mention the daughter in on the rigging. The trial in this case will benefit Authentic financially by providing its clients more fodder for fundraising. Authentic will make more money by assisting with those communications, and Your Honor's daughter will continue to earn money from these developments by virtue of her senior role at Authentic. Are they going to get into the judge and the daughter colluding here? The ethics opinion relied on by the court to deny their prior recusal motion emphasized that, quote, we see nothing in the inquiry to suggest that the outcome of the case could have any effect on the judge's relative, the relative's business, or any of their interests, end quote. The court declined to share its, quote, inquiry, end quote. They say it. Trust us. We've investigated ourselves and found no wrongdoing. But any such omission can now be addressed. According to the filings of the FEC, Authentic has received millions of dollars in disbursements from entities associated with President Trump's political rivals since the indictment was returned. I do want to know what that was like year over year, if Authentic was even around in 2020. Comparative would be very useful if the comparative shows something good. If it doesn't show something good, you can sort of skirt around that. Okay, well, it doesn't really matter if it's not more now than it was then. But if it's more now than it was then, you're adding an even juicier layer to this. Some of those funds were paid to Authentic by entities associated with legislators and political action committees that have used email and or social media to solicit contributions specifically based on this case. Adam Schiff for Brains McShiffface. Trump has been indicted. This is the most serious thing ever. Give me $15. Thus, there is a strong evidence that Authentic has used this case to make money. Those benefits and the ongoing financial issues cannot be ignored. Compounding these issues, the court imposed a gag order. Oh, there we go. Okay. On President Trump that restricts his ability to engage in protected campaign speech, and the court considering expanding that prior restraint. He's already done it. So when was this drafted? I thought this was published today. April 1st. Oh, they drafted it April 1st. Okay. When was it published? April 3rd. This is from today. So they drafted it before he expanded his gag order. In addition, the court appears to have made extrajudicial comments about this case while failing to rule on a pending case, a pending defense request to file a motion for an adjournment based on prejudicial pretrial publicity. Okay. Last week, the court used the Office of Court Administration to issue a statement relating to an X account used at some point by Your Honor's daughter. As public scrutiny on the case increases, the account in question appears to have been closed to the public. So too has Authentic's X account, thereby limiting President Trump's ability to investigate these issues. I hope people got screen grabs. Can you believe they're like children in their stupidity and their corruption? Like, shit. Okay, the cat's out of the bag. What do we do now? Delete. Alt control delete. Suspend the account, pretend. This is why I don't delete tweets unless I explain why I deleted the tweets, because you're not, first of all, you might be deleting evidence that might help you. Go ahead and delete it. I mean, I'm surprised people aren't out there already like fabricating fake tweets from Authentic. Don't do it, because it'll get you landing in jail like Douglas Mackey. But when you delete the original tweets, my goodness, you leave fodder for people to manufacture tweets. Don't do it. That's how Douglas Mackey got convicted. Did he go to jail yet? Douglas Mackey, Ricky Vaughn, jailed for a meme. While the liberal who says, you know, vote tomorrow, she's fine. I forget her name now. Under these circumstances, Your Honor has an interest in the case that warrants recusal, judiciary law, yada, 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 an unacceptable risk that the court's family relationships will influence judicial conduct. No effing S. Therefore, President Trump respectfully, President Trump, you know that pisses off Mershon every time they say that, respectfully requests permission to file a motion to support these arguments that includes a briefing and otherwise, yada, yada, yada. Okay, now I don't know if the judge has ruled on this. I was waiting to the end of the day to see. Judge Mershon, recusal. Is there any news within the last day? Let's go to news. 23 hours, 21 hours, 23 hours. So don't look like there's any news there. That's the letter for recusal. We'll see what happens with it. It's egregious. But it's egregious. And just look at all of these prosecutions. They all have the exact same pattern. And holy hell, I mean, I hate to say it, but people are going to start noticing patterns. You can't blame people for noticing patterns. George Soros funding Alvin Bragg through Political Action Committee. I think it's the Color of Change or something along those lines. Soros funding Bragg in this particular case. And then you got a corrupt judge, Juan Marchand, who has familial, personal, vested interest in seeing this go on and this being bad for Trump. You got Soros-funded Letitia James before corrupt New York nipple judge Engoron. Mutatis mutandis. You got corrupt, I think Soros has something to do with Letitia James. I asked our locals community and I forget, but you get corrupt Letitia James campaigning off, corruptly appropriating funds and then funneling them to her boyfriend, who then funnels them back to her with lavish gifts so they can continue to prosecute Trump. And the more they prosecute Trump, the more Nathan Wade can bill. It's wild. Then you got Jack Smith gone rogue. There are things to be noticed here in terms of a modus operandi, and you can't ignore it at a certain point in time. The problem here is, because if the left didn't have double standards, they'd have no standards at all. You got some people coming out and saying, can someone please explain to me? This guy, John Collins, Twitter's been recommending this because they know that I can't help myself. I don't even know this is a real person. Like this could be a bot. I could be fighting on the internet with a bot. Like there's sex bots, and then you have your troll farms, or you have your political farms that go in there to dad, husband, low key nerd, EDJD. Nothing that I can identify as a real human here. I might very well be arguing, making points with a bot, but it doesn't matter because I'm making points for the broader public. Can someone explain to me why they think Judge Mershon has a conflict of interest, but Clarence Thomas doesn't? Good question. To which I replied, can someone explain to me why you think Clarence Thomas has a conflict and Judge Mershon doesn't. I mean, it's wild. And you try to create equivalents, false equivalents, as if what they accused Clarence Thomas of was in any way remotely comparable in terms of degree and extent to that which we see right in front of our face now with Judge Mershon. For those of you who forgot, the conflict of interest accusations against Clarence Thomas. Thomas attended fundraisers for a conservative political group, ProPublica report says. He attended fundraiser events. In a lengthy article, we talked about this at the time with Robert Barnes, and he said, this is, if you want to talk about a nothing burger, this is a nothing burger, and it's specifically permitted. So set all that aside. In a lengthy article, ProPublica reports that Thomas, over the years, has maintained a close relationship to the Koch Network, one of the largest and most influential political organizations in the country, and that the justice, on at least two occasions, spoke at a fundraising event. Okay. According to ProPublica, Thomas has twice been brought in to speak. Yeah, okay, fine. And the network has repeatedly brought cases before the Supreme Court. In 2021, one of Koch's entities, I'm saying it like this, I don't know if it's Koch or whatever, Koch's entities, America for Prosperity, successfully challenged state law that required nonprofits to disclose the identity of their large donors. And this year, the network is supporting a challenge to a longstanding Supreme Court regulatory precedent. Thomas did not recuse himself from the 2021 case, nor is there any indication he will recuse himself from this term's case, a challenge to the nearly 40-year-old Supreme Court precedent, Chevron. We're talking about this on the channel. So I can understand some people saying, I don't like the way that looks. I mean, I'm a very more kosher than the Pope. Is that the expression? I'll go out of my way to avoid any remote semblance of conflict of interest. It's the only reason why I haven't actually bought any Rumble stock. Because I don't want anyone accusing me of anything, biased opinions for whatever, trying to pump and whatever. When I bought Tesla because I thought it was undervalued, I told everybody I bought a modest amount of Tesla. I'll be more transparent than my used Tommy John underwear. So I can understand why people are saying, like, he's got a connection, he's got some relationship with a party before the court. Fine, I can understand that. I could understand Thomas recusing himself, saying, I can also understand saying, no, I'm not breaking any rules. My relationship with them is not going to impact in any way my ruling on this. Oh yeah, and also there are 9 Supreme Court justices. That's not to excuse any actual or appearance of conflict of interest. It is to say, however, that you run the risk with 1 of 9. It's fundamentally different than running the risk clear as day with the 1 of 1. One judge, Juan Marcon, conflicted as the day is long, is far different than a potential appearance of conflict of 1 of 9 Supreme Court justices. All right, but I could understand someone making the argument. They made that argument. They wanted to get Clarence Thomas off the bench for that conflict. They wanted to go pack the court. No, what do they call it now? They didn't say pack, enhance the court because of that conflict. And yet, when it comes to Juan Marcon, no, that's totally fine. When it comes to New York nipple judge Engoron, who's posting links to his rulings to his alumni, that's totally fine. But disqualify Clarence Thomas, impeach him, remove him from the bench, or stack the court. This is the logical stupidity. The double standard of the left, they don't apply their own rules to themselves, and it's not by accident, it's not hierarchy, it's just lawlessness. It's so they can get away with doing what they're doing. So that's the situation with Juan Marcon. There's no question he is conflicted. There's no question the dude has TDS. There's no question. It's not just that there's an appearance of conflict of interest. There's an actual one. And he was discussing with his daughter. She, you know, the internet's forever. And in 2019, when she's on the podcast talking about how her dad hates the way Trump tweets, that's it. Done. But they don't even have the dignity to remove themselves from the file. So we'll see where this goes. Don't hold your breath. And Friday jazz and blues at the F. Joe Biden bar. I miss this. Make Asylum's great again, says I'm not your buddy guy. Yeah. Oh, boy. Sent to Rumble Ranch. Hope you're doing well. Irish Rancher. I'm going to go over there right now. And then we got Nate the lawyer. So hold on. Let me bring up the Rumble. And we're going to see what we got there. Oh, son of a bee sting. Did I forget to do it? Hold on. Cripe! I did. I missed the rants. Let me see if I could scroll all the way up here. Okay, I think I saw one, two. Okay, so what I forgot to do is click that plugin so that it keeps track of the rants, but I think I saw them right here. Squirrel! There we go. Patrick McGold says, did you see Timcast dead people registering to vote? Hope you're doing well, longtime fan. Tried to get the Benny Show to look into it. I didn't see the dead people registering. What we did talk about on the Unusual Suspects today is the spike in voter registration without having to show ID in swing states. The spike in registration is in the tens of thousands and the hundreds of thousands in Texas, Arizona, and Pennsylvania. Actually, let me elaborate on that once I get this out of here. And I saw one more down here. Scrolly McGee. Crash Bandit says, Viva, I met two men like that man at the bar last month. They are real, but I do live just outside of Portland. Well, I say avoid them at all costs. Because there is no placating that level of absolute insanity. There's no placating that. It's that they are a grain of salt away from violence. And I mean meaningful violence. So maybe you feel like a little sissy for, you know, not standing up for your political, yada, yada. Avoid at all costs, walk away, do not engage, and do not trigger more than has been triggered. You've all heard this report from, I think it's Chief Nerd on Twitter, and it's verified that in Arizona, Texas, and Pennsylvania, you are having a massive surge of registration where it does not require photo ID to register to vote. It just requires four digits of a social security number, which illegal immigrants can get. Heck, the legal ones, I have a social security number. Technically, I presume, I guess you don't have to show, I don't have to show photo. I could go to Texas, Arizona, and Pennsylvania, put in the last four digits of my social security number and register to vote. I'm not allowed to vote, and I will not be voting because I'm a law-abiding person who lives with the constant fear of a proverbial camera overhead. Some people call that God. Other people call that surveillance. but that's what's going on. And it's like, it's wild now that you understand that this border crisis, which they referred to as a racist exaggeration back in 2016 when Trump was railing about it. It went from a racist trope to being a crisis, but that's only after however many tens of millions of illegal immigrants have crossed the border. Now, census, they will have an impact on congressional seats, from what I understand. Obviously, to the benefit of Democrats. Oh, what a happy little accident of that disaster of their making. And now it seems, I don't know how the verification is going to work. It seems that all it takes to register in three key swing states, two of them are border states, conveniently enough, is the last four digits of your social security number and no voter ID, no photo ID to register to vote. What the hell can go wrong? You know what's really funny about all that, by the way, as well, is that Texas and Abbott, you remember they were shipping busloads of illegals up to Pennsylvania. And there are people out there who think that Abbott is deep state globalist, who's playing into this, you know, leaving the border open, not doing what he otherwise could do to protect the border. And for anybody who was inclined to think that, the fact that he was shipping illegals to Pennsylvania, where illegals can now register to vote with no photo ID and the last four digits of their asylum social security number, that's going to add a little bit of fodder to the people who already believe that. And I'll also say one thing, because I've said it many times and I'll say it again. Anybody out there who says that the photo ID voting requirements are racist. Imagine okay, it's not racist to make minorities show photo ID to buy alcohol or tobacco. That's not racist. Apparently they can get photo ID for that. And it's not racist to make visible minorities show photo ID to get cigarettes and alcohol, but it's racist to make them show photo ID to vote. Okay. And just to talk about that hypocrisy, double standard, lawlessness of thought, you know, people make the argument, and Chris Cuomo made the argument today, but I don't know if it was live, we were discussing before, that, you know, we have mobility rights under the Constitution, but you need to get a license to drive a car. It's a good point, Chris, if you're watching, but it's easily refutable by saying you have mobility rights, but no in the Constitution, but no constitutional right to drive a car. And so fundamentally different than the Constitution specifically providing the constitutional right specifically to bear arms. Not any mobility and saying, well, now I got to get a boating license. Boating per se is not protected by the Constitution. Mobility rights are. Bear arms is specifically provided for. And yet you'll get the lefties, not Chris Cuomo, because I'm not sure that he's lefty anymore. But you will get the lefties out there saying, hey, the Constitution, you have a constitutional right to a gun. It doesn't mean that you don't have to be subjected to getting a license to own a gun. All right. So you need a photo ID as a solution to exercising one of your constitutional rights, the right to bear arms. And yet you don't need a photo ID to vote. There you have it. Set aside the fact that at one point in time, these idiot New York lefty hypocrites were requiring photo ID and proof of medical status to buy a flipping cup of coffee at a New York coffee shop. Shay, boss. Tard with a hard R says, stop pretending it's left versus right. I don't know if that's directed at me. That's in the Rumble chat. I don't really believe it's left versus right. I do believe it's people who think the government is the solution versus the people who understand the government is the problem. That just happens to play out a lot in terms of left versus right. But right now I say it's red-pilled versus blue-pilled. And you'll go watch The Unusual Suspects afterwards. I do believe that Chris Cuomo is in a passage of red pill. I also do believe there are certain things that, as you gain self-awareness of, atonement must also be made, but Chris and I will have that discussion another day. All right. Oh, lordy, lordy. Was there anything else on that? No. But there was more hypocrisy and stupidity from the left. Hold on a second. What is this? Why do I have so many of the same things open here? Listen to this. We talk about the double standards, the two screens, one film. Aiken, who's the Midas Touch guy, post these clips. He's the one who posted the bloodbath out of context and that went viral. I still don't know if it got community noted at any point. But he posts these videos, and sometimes I do ask myself, does he think this makes Gretchen Whitmer? Is it politically motivated? Because I look at this video and I'm like, this doesn't make Gretchen Whitmer look good, as far as I'm concerned, but maybe I'm too far into my own seeing the movie that I want to see, or that I think other people should be seeing to actually see it for what it is. Listen to this.
I'll tell you, the former president was in Grand Rapids today, and he was capitalizing on a horrible tragedy that happened here. There is a family that is grieving the loss of Ruby Garcia, and she was a real person with a real story, and it is a horrible story that happened. All of that being said, he came in to, perpetrate the continued storyline that he had done everything to keep us safe, which is baloney. We know that under the Trump administration, he actually called me, the governor of Michigan, to ask that we send the National Guard to help with surveillance on the southern border. And we helped him out because he couldn't get it done. He's also the reason that the negotiation in Washington, D.C. didn't come to fruition. He torpedoed a deal that would have had the strongest border security in decades in this country that President Biden put on the table. He told Republicans to walk away, and they did. So I really, I cannot abide when someone comes in and just tries to score political points off of someone else's pain and perpetuates a problem instead of actually trying to solve it. Well,
Her vocal fry drives me nuts, and I actually believe that I genuinely despise this woman, Gretchen Whitmer. Do we all understand exactly what Gretchen Whitmer just did right there? Like, is it not patently obvious to everybody with half a brain? I like to think I have half a brain. Let me just play it one more time here, and just I want to remember one key phrase, if I can replay it.
I'll tell you, the former president was in Grand Rapids today, and he was capitalizing on a horrible tragedy that happened here. There is a family that is grieving the loss of Ruby Garcia, and she was a real person with a real story.
She was a real person. Trump, she's accusing of capitalizing off of a real tragedy. She's accusing Trump of capitalizing off a real tragedy, of a real person with a real story, which she's right. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Does everybody not see that that's exactly what she is doing? She is capitalizing off a real tragedy, and more over that, and worse than that, to spread outright lies.
And it is a
outright lies
story that happened. All of that being
It just happened. It just happened. How did it happen? Who the hell knows? It just happened. It just happened into the Georgia nursing student. It just happened. Oh, but Trump is the one. He torpedoed what would have been the strongest border bill ever. It was such a strong border bill that overnight they relabeled it the Ukrainian aid package bill.
He came into,
So no one fact checks me there and says fake news. I believe it was called the foreign aid package bill. They didn't specify Ukraine, although, what was it, $60 billion went to Ukraine?
Perpetrate the continued storyline that he had done everything to keep us safe, which is baloney.
He was sued to prevent the wall from being built. He was sued to prevent the appropriation of the funds that would have been required to build the wall. Sued by the states. Oh, and by the way, I like what she says about the National Guard. National Guard. Yeah, that's right. The states have to call it in. Not Trump. I mean, I think he asked them and then they sent it, you know, but had he brought in the National Guard against the will and desire of DC, that would have been the real military coup.
We know that under the Trump administration, he actually called me, the governor of Michigan, to ask that we send the National Guard to help with surveillance on the southern border. And we helped him out because he couldn't get it done.
We helped him out because he couldn't get it done. She's like making it sound like he's impotent in the sack. He couldn't get it done. Couldn't get it done because he was tied up in litigation, eh, while he was being called a Russian asset, eh? Tied up in litigation, but he couldn't get it done because we wouldn't let him. And then we said there was no problem. And then we opened it up for 3.5 years. And then we put forward a bullshit bill that was nothing but a Ukrainian aid bill in disguise. And then they torpedoed what would have been the strongest border bill that would have allowed up to 5,000 illegal immigrants in per day. That 1.8 million, I keep forgetting what that adds up to. 5,000 times 365. 1.8 million illegal immigrants crossing under the bill that they were putting forward, the strongest border bill ever. But remember, Trump is the one capitalizing off of a real person's tragedy.
He's also the reason that the, you know, negotiation in Washington, D.C. didn't come to fruition.
Look at her face.
He torpedoed a deal that would have had the strongest border security,
strongest border security in decades. Bullshit, Gretchen Whitmer. Liar. Liar capitalizing off what I presume is the murder of a woman by illegal. I presume that's what's going on because I haven't seen the story in all that much detail. I presume that's what's going on. Capitalizing off tragedy to spread her filthy, filthy lies. Sweet seat in hell is what Gretchen Whitmer is reserving for herself. Everything she accuses Trump of doing is what she is doing herself. Oh yeah. By the way, and it was 5,000 only counted if they were Canadian or Mexican. All, yes, that's right, from contiguous borders. And that's the minimum threshold. It has to be over 5,000 for 7 days average before they can declare the emergency. That's right, contiguous borders. And that the strongest border would have given exclusive jurisdiction to the corrupt hellhole DC courts. But Trump is the one capitalizing off tragedy. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's terrible. But there was another one. Doesn't end there. Where was it? Gavin Newsom. Here's another one who's doing the same thing. Look at this. They're reminding you of what their tactics are. But by the way, you want to talk about dog whistles? They're reminding you of what their tactics are.
It's good advice to Democrats. Listen, the president had all major police chiefs to the White House just last month. Violent crime is across the board down in most major cities. And that's something we need to talk about, certainly, as Democrats. The
violent crime is across the board down in most cities. I'm sir, do you hear yourself?
Listen, the highest jump in the homicide rate, the murder rate in this country happened in the last year of the Trump administration. It didn't happen in any of the Biden years over these last 3 years.
Oh, that's amazing. It's amazing, actually. Hold on. Before I share my thoughts.
So, again, the president is running on his record. Donald Trump is now a different situation than 2016, has a record he's got to defend as well. It's good advice.
What does lying McGee Newsom have to say? He is just quoting the guy. The highest jump in murder rate in this country happened in the last year of the Trump administration. It didn't happen in any of the Biden years. No, well, first of all, it stayed high in the first 2 years of the Biden administration. What year was that? Oh, the last year of the Trump administration. Oh, yeah. COVID and some other small. Oh, the summer of love. Well, the police officer that was murdered, David Dorden, I forget his name now. I feel bad for not remembering his name. The summer of love resulted in excessive amounts of crime, violent crime, murder. That was the last year of Trump's presidency, when racial inequality was a public health crisis that justified public protest and burning of buildings. But if you had a political rally, it was a super spreader event. The 2020 summer of love, Democrat led. Burning of cities. And I am saying Democrat because it was Kamala Harris raising money to bail out the protesters. It was people saying, well, you got to understand this is systemic racism. It's a public health emergency and people have to, they have to express their discontent somehow. This was 2020 was a year of violence provoked, instigated, and supported by the left to affect political change. Throw that in conjunction with COVID, changing of laws, secret cabals, meaning behind closed doors. It achieved its purpose. There's a word for when violence is used to and achieves, or not even used to and achieves. There's a word for when violence is used to achieve political purposes. You know what that word is called? It rhymes with schmarrerism. So yeah, 2020 was one hell of a violent year. It was the year when cities burnt, when police stations were torched, when sections of cities were taken over, when people were murdered. It was called the Summer of Love. Slightly fiery, but mostly peaceful protests of the left. Protesting and committing violence for political change. There used to be a word for that. And then Democrat Biden comes into power. 2 years of rampant crime. And it goes down a little bit. And these scumbags want to take credit for it? Holy hell. Oh, so there's that. Now, but speaking of crime, and before we run out of time here, because we're going to end at 6 o'clock, at least on YouTube and Rumble, and I'll see how long. I mean, if I can't carry on for long enough on Locals, I'll do something later. But we're going to talk about my Chris Cuomo meeting. It was fun. The last part. Look, Tiffany Henyard, if you don't know the story, I mean, she's that mayor of Chicago. I believe that she was a known or ought to have been known convict criminal before having gotten elected, which I don't think should be a preclusion from ever holding office again, but it might be an indication of character. Past is prologue is not a rule, but it's tends to be a tendency. Tiffany Henyard is the mayor who's an outright, I mean, comical gangster. This would be Idiocracy if it weren't reality. She's the corrupt mayor who's literally, you know, stealing money, using it for personal benefit, travel expenses, first class tickets to Vegas, private security, hair, wigs, from what I understand, all sorts of things, appropriating taxpayer funds for a personal lifestyle. Then there was an incident apparently of a staff member who apparently might have been drugged and sexually abused or worse in Vegas, wakes up in the room of somebody and doesn't know how they got there, files a complaint, is fired after having been allegedly, potentially sexually assaulted. Tiffany Henyard is now under investigation left, right, and center. Listen to this. This is real life.
Starting a Dalton Village board meeting dressed like the Wesley Snipes character in the movie New Jack City.
And I'm looking for that Rihanna. That's what I'm looking for.
This is
what they told
official.
Me to tell y'all right here. Every single resident. Pay me what you owe me.
I mean,
the officers are paid.
I don't know how this is real life. And she's accused of using actual violence against residents, actual violence against rivals, people's cars getting shot up, people getting ticketed, business licenses getting revoked or not getting issued if they don't donate to a charity from which she's allegedly taking money. It can't be real life, and yet it is somehow. And so I'm not reading a lot of these comments. The town hall meeting, they had another one yesterday. There's a literal cancer patient who's saying, I gotta buy wigs for myself, and you're allegedly stealing from a cancer charity. Wild. But this is and wild, and you know, elected. And people throw around the DEI thing, but she's elected, so it's not really, there's no ESG requirement. It's just people getting what they vote for, or people getting a whole hell of a lot more than what they vote for. It is the use of police as their own personal enforcers that I found shocking. Tommy G, never heard of him until today, but you know the internet's a big place, put out an amazing 31-minute deep dive, and I'll share it all with you. But there was one portion of the video that just blew my mind, and it's this portion.
They filed a lawsuit, and on March 4th, both of these men were awarded $50,000.
He's talking about the police abuse by one of Tiffany Henyard's basically personal Gestapo agents. This guy right here.
Settlements. This is one of Mayor Tiffany's lead lapdogs that she uses to control the town through his goonish actions. Another case he was involved in resulted in the largest settlement in Cook County history, $33.5 million.
You gotta step over there on public property.
This is not public property. Okay. Where is the public property?
Have a good day.
Can you not answer my question, sir?
Do you have ID? In Illinois, you have to have ID.
Do you have ID?
Now see if we...
What is the thing you suspect us of?
In a minute, I'm asking you.
This is a public taxpayer area that we're now being...
Step over here, sir.
This guy's got cojones of steel, by the way. Like, that police officer is one step away from the intro guy losing his shit over Trump, you know, having police officers behind him. And these are the people who want Trump to not have police officers behind him. And they want RFK Jr. to not have Secret Service protection. But yeah.
Absolutely.
Step over here.
The goons have come out.
Okay.
Here we, oh, this is quite a response for people doing a story. How many police vehicles are coming for this?
What exactly are you guys trying to accomplish?
The mayor. Is she a hero or a villain? This is part of the convoy too, guys. The taxpayer sponsored Tahoe's right there. At $150,000 for a vehicle.
Oh wow.
That's
run me over. Right.
I can tell you, sir, I'm not riding dirty.
These are criminals with
that. Nothing,
y'all. Sir, can you do me a favor?
Sure.
Can you have your guys sit in the car, please?
What? No.
You sure?
You want us to do something off camera? I'm surrounded by six people. I'm not going to about to do that.
Yeah, step back real quick.
Can you please tell me why you refuse to say what the public area is that you want me to go to? Tommy G, they call me. Milwaukee representative.
Everybody cams on.
In Milwaukee, you can literally steal a car and rob a bank and not this many cops show up. So once I come up clean, then what?
Who else got ID?
Coming back. State of Illinois.
I'll give you the link. Straight up criminality. Criminals with badges. Being used by elected criminals, alleged criminals, to screw the citizens. There's no other way to explain any of this. It's all coming to light. The only question is it bad enough yet? You all thought Lori Lightfoot out of Chicago was bad, and who's the guy that replaced her was even worse. But you guys got to go check out that video. Link to video. Crooked from the top down, says Rob Tater. Thugs says, I'm not your buddy guy. Let me see what's going on in Rumble before we... Jadiatric Walker says, Trump doesn't just live rent-free in the minds of those lefty loonies. He's the goat squatter changing locks and taking over property titles to advertise new ownership for rental or lease. And then we got Fat Tony 42 says all law enforcement is the enemy. I don't agree with that, and I'm more inclined to back the blue as a reflex, but not as an unshakable rule. Those people are criminals with badges. Can you imagine the violence that goes on in Chicago, the violence that goes on in Milwaukee, the violence that goes on at the border? That's a great use of resources. Take five of those individuals and bring them down to the southern border. You might solve two problems at once. Okay. So what we're going to do now, by the way, I'm going to end this because I have some more stuff, but I'll save it for tomorrow. This was going to be a shorter stream anyhow. But I'm going to go 1 minute over because there's an intro of the... and I want to play one thing here. I want to end with this. This is talking about institutionalized mental illness and institutionalized misogyny. No, hold on. I want to read this. Read the tweet. Breaking. I just vetoed Republicans' anti-LGBTQ bill ban. I'm going to start that again. I just vetoed Republicans' anti-LGBTQ bill to ban trans and gender nonconforming kids from participating in school sports teams that align with their gender identity. Governor Tony Evers sounds like a real groomer right now. LGBTQ kids deserve our love and respect and support just like any other kid. Can you imagine a man now saying men and boys get to compete against girls and women. I guess there is this thing called institutionalized misogyny. And congratulations, Governor Tony. You're the face of it. Leave the freaking kids alone, to quote Samson. Or keep the kids out of it. I forget what it is. LGBTQ kids deserve our love and respect. Who the hell are you talking to? I don't know that all kids deserve your love and respect. Keep your freaking love to yourself, Evers, especially when it's about my kids. All the kids deserve love and respect, except the girls who are now going to have to compete against boys. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was... Doesn't matter. I'm just about to have an aneurysm. So that's Governor Evers. All right. So what we're going to do now, by the way, I think Tommy Robinson is coming on Friday, to be confirmed, because I made a mistake on the timing the last time. Tomorrow, I've got a podcast at 10 o'clock on someone else's channel. Then I'm going to go live and keep that tainted love. Where is it? Waiting in the fanny, people. So Friday's going to be a good show. And with that said, go now. I'm going to end this on YouTube and Rumble and continue it over on vivabarneslaw.locals.com. And let me see how I can do this. I think I can do this. Thank you all for being here. I'll see you tomorrow. Stay strong. Stay sane. Talk to people. And don't start fights with the unhinged. It will never go anywhere good. Better off walking away and going fishing than getting sucker punched by a lunatic for your very existence. Yep, Tommy on Friday. And I'm fairly certain it's going to happen, and I'm fairly certain it's happening on Friday, but stay tuned for that. That's it. Oh, the plug of the podcast, Going On Dork. Yeah, I should probably do that, said someone there. Hold on, it's The Unusual Suspects. It's in the redirect link, so you will get it as we go. Copy link, but I'll share it one more time. Go watch it if you're not going to come to vivabarneslaw.locals.com. But I would suggest you come to Viva Barnes Law, because I'm going to talk to you about my interaction with Chris Cuomo. It's not what you thought it would be. All right, everybody, I'll see you tomorrow. Ending on YouTube. And am I able to end on Rumble as well? Can I do that, Tiffany? Remove from this stream? Okay. I think I did it. And I'm going to leave it going on Rumble. So let me see what happens now. Oh, I missed the two Rumble rants there. These people are Nutsies, says I'm not your buddy guy. And Jokul says, what's the legal recourse for this? Shameless plug, Jokul Gaming and chat, 9 p.m. Eastern. Sorry, I forgot to read it live. But so we should no longer be live on Rumble. We'll see if this actually worked. Let's see here. Yeah, we did. Okay, good. We ended there. And now I should still be live on vivabarneslaw.locals.com. Are we still live here, peeps? We good. All right. So I saw a lot of your comments. They just ran an article a month ago about how Trump's youngest was fair game now that he was 18. That came from, who did that come from? We're good. We're good. Good. Oh, Steve Britton, I didn't reply to your email. Steve, if you're watching, thank you for coming on yesterday. It was fantastic. I will make sure to email you back. We are a patient group, but Viva needs to stop saying Chris Cuomo is red-pilled. Cuomo is dedicated to chaos, and he hates people not in his circle, says shh. That's what Gypsy Muse says in response to, you missed my birthday last Monday, 65 years and counting, says hyphen. Hyphen, happy birthday, and I'm sorry for missing your birthday. I assure you, I only missed it because I did not know it was your birthday. Let me just see something, if I can read it out loud. You'll go watch the episode of The Unusual Suspects. I'll tell you, this is my impression of having met Chris Cuomo now in person. I was nervous that he was going to hate me from some of the tweets, because I've been very critical of Chris on Twitter. He didn't know who I was. So that's always a relief. He might go back and see some of the tweets, but I was not abusive to Chris. I said Chris has done some very bad things. Not the least of which, in my view, is protecting his brother, who I believe is very close to, if not, in fact, a bona fide mass murderer. Chris is actually surprisingly sincere in his beliefs. He has some sincerely, I believe, not what's the word I'm looking for? Silly beliefs. And he's going to try to convince me, because he just texted me, 5 reasons why immigrants aren't bringing higher crime, as Trump claims, but he's citing CNN. So... the thing is, we talked, and I think it was live. It was live when he mentioned it, that Jeff Zucker was like the best producer to work under, despite him firing Chris for having protected his brother. He does hate you, Viva, and always will. Well, I'm not trusting him to babysit my kids, but that's my kid now knows that the absolute test of my trust in someone is would I let them babysit my kids? So he's got some sincerely held beliefs, and I believe that they're sincerely wrong, some of them. But when Gypsy Muse says he might hate me, I'll never know someone's intentions. But we discussed things today, and he has espoused views that will get him canceled among the left. The only question is whether or not it's sincere, whether or not it's trying to bring support from the right back over to the left, or whether or not he is on the outs, is a far-right extremist according to the left, but just doesn't know it yet. It took Dershowitz some time. No one would ever doubt Dershowitz's sincerity because I don't think Dershowitz had been caught in a bald-faced lie. I think I got to go refresh my memory. The whole Chris Cuomo thing saying that he either contracted COVID, was in quarantine, or had COVID, and then he was caught not under quarantine. Lefson says bullshit. He's good at faking and manipulating people. He's a sociopath. Again, Lefson, I can understand that because there's no real way of disproving that. And look, I can understand the tactics, and I could make that argument. I could make that argument and cite what's the word when you have not speech patterns but debate oratory tactics. I don't let anyone besides my parents watch my kid. Bill Brown, I don't trust my father to babysit my kids. So we got a problem there. And then James C.C. Kelly says he's good at faking and manipulating people. He's a sociopath. And then James C. Kelly agrees. Here's the thing, actually. Let's just say I agree with you. I'm deeply cynical of him. I'm deeply cynical of anyone in that milieu. You know, anyone who doesn't understand the damage that CNN as an institution has done and the damage that he and his participation has done. And I would ask him these questions viva voce. I'm not talking behind his back or like being big and tough, not with him. He's a massive person, could probably kick my ass easy. I could run faster than him though. This is not something that I would not say to his face. When you've participated in that institution for extensive periods of time, you've participated in the actual destruction of society to some extent. CNN is the enemy of the people. Whether or not he feels bad for what he's done at CNN and atones for it, that's the first step towards a sincere birth again. Like even Tucker Carlson, like Fox News has been part of the problem for a very long time. And Fox News, I believe, is firmly beholden to pharmaceutical companies to the point where it impacts the information that they disseminate. And Tucker Carlson, I believe, had a sincere revelation that he was part of the problem for a long period of time. It's a devastating thing to have to recognize yourself. Am I going to get in trouble? She has to go? Okay, 3 minutes and I'll be out there. It's a devastating thing to have to recognize. What? No, okay. Everybody, I'm gonna have to carry this on from the car. I'm gonna start a new stream because I have to go wait with my kid while she does an activity. I'm gonna start this back up in 25 minutes. So give me 25 minutes to start it back up, and I will see you in a bit. I'm in trouble, guys. I'll see you in 25 minutes. I'm starting up a locals exclusive. So 6:35. I'll see you there. I didn't realize this was still here. Okay, I'll see you guys soon. Locals, be right back.